The names alone should tell you you're in for an exotic evening. Lola Love, Violetta Beretta, Coco Electric, Miss Fortune. You're in the world of burlesque, where the glamour is laid on extra thick, and the names have been changed to protect the innocent. Or maybe innocence has nothing to do with it. Violetta Beretta is the organizer of the second annual Burlesque Festival and Review, and she's with us this morning. Good morning, Violetta.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You know, as soon as I said that, I thought, you know, maybe innocence has everything to do with it, because burlesque seems kind of innocent in today's perspective, at least to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were just chatting about that, and I agree. You know, when people find out what me and my compatriots do, normally they're a little bit shocked at first, until I say, well, do you watch MTV or cable or even network TV? And they say yes, and I say, well, you're probably seeing a lot more skins than you'll see on any of our shows, you know.
And seen it presented with a lot less mystery, too.
Well, yeah, I think, yeah, definitely. And we try to cloak or couch our performances in not only the feminine mystique, but also humor, creativity, sometimes political stuff. So it's a good format for creative people to express themselves. And, you know, it doesn't only have to be about the tease, but it certainly helps when it is.
Well, it's got a long and hallowed tradition in American entertainment. How far back does burlesque go?
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, actually, if we're going to talk about the origins of burlesque, it started in the early 1800s, I believe, with a troupe called Lydia and Her Famous Blondes, who was an English burlesque troupe.
Uh-huh.
But the nature of burlesque has changed throughout the years. It was more of a way of making political satire, and then throughout the ages. And,
really?
And more towards the vaudeville era. And then into the 50s and the 60s, it became more about the strip tease. So, we've actually had a number of burlesque legends visit Hawaii. Lily St. Cyr, Tempest Storm, mm-hmm. were all brought in by a big-name burlesque promoter in the 50s, I believe. And so we've had some burlesque legends here already, and hopefully we'll have some on stage at the Doors Duke on Friday.
We're starting new legends as we speak,
yes,
right?
Yes, we've been working on it.
But you have, and you mentioned people like Lily St. Cyr, who've put as much attention into creating a kind of a larger-than-life persona.
Correct.
It's a lot more than just slipping the gown off your shoulder. It's about the build-up to
it,
right?
I mean, a lot of people, you know, when they watch, the intention is for it to appear effortless. So mm-hmm. if you're, you know, seeming like you're working really hard, you're probably not doing it right. And so they think to themselves, oh, this must be a very easy thing. But it's like any sort of show, you know, a lot of work does go into it. And some of the best performers I've seen, you know, not only are they conscious of their dancing and their sexiness, but their humor, their facial expressions, their choice of music, the story that they're telling. One of the girls that is going to be performing Coco Electric on Friday is a great storyteller. She's very compelling and has one of the best, most expressive faces I've ever seen mm-hmm. in a performance. So there's a lot there to appreciate, just you know, aside from the lack of clothing.
Well, I mean, it's, as I say, it's a show business tradition. There's
yes.
a whole tradition of burlesque comedy, the music, the presentation.
The Baggy Pants comedians.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a really, and it all kind of ties into vaudeville, the vaudeville era, when people would travel not only with singers, dancers, comedians, but also, you know, burlesque dancers as well.
You know, I've always kind of, I wasn't around for it, but in a way I kind of miss the vaudeville era, in the sense that people all over America in medium to large-sized towns were theater performers. You could be a theater performer and remain quite active if your home base was Oklahoma City mm-hmm. or Kansas.
And make a living, yeah, sure. They had a circuit. And it's important to remember, though, that at this time, this was the, you know, there was no TV.
Mm-hmm.
And so most people relied on their visual stimulation and their, you know, night out to be at these theaters or wherever these shows happened to be, and that was their entertainment at the time. So it was easier, I think, for people to not only make a living, become popular, and engage audiences that way, because there wasn't as much focus being pulled away by the TV and the internet. That said, though, it's coming back. People are starting to find that they enjoy going back to the theater, back to clubs and stuff. So there's been a huge revival in burlesque and vaudeville within the past 6-7 years.
Well, maybe it was a mistake to ever think that a three-dimensional live performer that you can look at right there on stage could be replaced by a flickering two-dimensional image.
Totally. I mean, it's a completely different animal. And while I like both, there's nothing like live dancing and live music.
Well, and to keep that alive, what kind of, you know, where does it go from here? I mean, as opposed to being sort of a museum piece of the past, how do you make it contemporary and take it forward?
That's actually a great question. I am a senior member of a burlesque troupe, Cherry Blossom Cabaret. Mm-hmm. We're going to be celebrating our 7th birthday, actually, in a month or so. So we've been at it for 7 years and started out small in the Chinatown community when it was not so great, and actually have been around to witness and to help a little bit with their sort of urban revival. Mm-hmm. So as we move forward, we've, you know, gotten more people. We went from a small group to now a troupe of 11. We have interns. We have performers who travel regularly contacting us to come just visit our state and share. Mm-hmm. So this kind of all culminated for me personally in doing the Hawaii Burlesque Festival, because I wanted to show local audiences our awesome burlesque, local burlesque performers, and showcase them, and then give everybody an opportunity to see people who are, you know, U.S. mainland, international performers, and then also offer some kind of a, you know, workshops and stuff to help educate the community if they want to learn some things about it, or you know, just some skills, fitness, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We're offering some workshops taught by some of the members of my troupe and some of the outside performers.
I would think self-confidence would play a pretty strong part in all this.
That's the main thing. You know, if you want to improve a little bit of your movement skills, walking, sexy and stuff. But the main thing with burlesque is that it's not one of my favorite things about it is that there is no one particular look. Everything is beautiful in its own way. So mm-hmm. if you're thin, large, big-breasted or small-breasted, it doesn't mm-hmm. matter. You can still go out there and be appreciated and show your creativity and your artistic talent. So with these workshops, it's more about, you know, like you said, building confidence in the fact that you can put these gloves on and you know, just go.
And maybe get a little bit outside of yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah? Larger-than-life kind of persona.
Exactly. And sometimes having a person tell you that that's okay is what makes it okay.
Well, it's definitely okay.
There's a lot of gentlemen that would also agree with you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Oh, thank you.
Violetta Beretta presents the 2nd Annual Burlesque Festival and Review this Friday at the Honolulu Museum of Art's Doris Duke Theater. And details are on our website, hpr2.org.